sack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here on a great Saturday morning. OU, Texas, Saturday morning, and Becky Ivins is on her way to the studio. And we are talking here this morning with John Nail from Nail Home. John Nail Homes, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, John, if you just put step right up, voice right up to the mic, pull that up to you. Great, John. Now, John, how long have you been building homes?
25 years.
So just a year or two. Now, how did you get into building of homes?
My dad was a home builder, and he built for years, and he mentored me. And so I followed in his footsteps trying to build that beautiful quality house that he used to build.
Now, what areas in particular do you build?
The Yukon area.
Okay. Great area. One of the, I mean, the 73099 zip code's been like the fastest growing zip code for a while here in Oklahoma. Boy, I bet you've seen big changes in the Yukon area.
Yes, sir. And saw a report that Canadian County is the first or second wealthiest county in the state.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it was, and at one time it was the top 20 fastest growing.
Yeah.
Although we have a lot of great areas around the metro, you know that.
There are a lot of great areas, and there's been kind of that the Yutang kind of a corridor there, Yukon, Mustang, Piedmont to the north. Mm-hmm. That has seen a huge growth spurt.
Yes, sir.
The
schools are growing like crazy.
Yeah.
And, but just like it is almost everywhere
around
the state.
Yeah. Now, in real estate, and for buyers, we've seen a lot of people moving that way because they want land. They want to be able to kind of get a little bit away from the neighbor. And so, you know, construction-wise, we're seeing homes with a little bit more acreage. Is that you kind of seeing the same thing with builders?
Yes. There is that demand for the larger piece of property,
mm-hmm.
and Canadian County offers that.
Yeah. Has that great kind of get away from people. Now, this year has been kind of a crazy struggle for everyone and all different things. Builders have had huge, like, supply and then personnel issues. Is that starting to ease up, or is it still that way?
No, I think it's taken about 5 months to get windows even today. And so the supplies are a tough thing, and labor's a tough thing. But here's the great thing about it all. That means we're in a hot market. That means we're in a great market to buy a house. Really, when you have those kind of challenges, that means things are moving.
Yeah.
And there's always a challenge, and even though this is different to deal with, I believe it's a good challenge.
I agree with you there, John, and that's why I like hanging out with you, and you're a very positive individual, and there's seems to be a lot of Debbie Downers out there, and I apologize if your name is Debbie. It's not targeted at you, but there seems to be a lot of people like, woe is us, woe, you know, and we have challenges, but it's the great builders, it's the great agents, it's the great ones that rise up when they're a challenge.
But there always are challenges.
Yeah.
There always are challenges. I'd rather have these challenges in great times than have the challenges in bad times.
Yeah.
But it's a great time to buy a house. What other country in the world gives the opportunity to live in a house? Buy your own home.
Right.
Have it custom built or, you know, so there's always something to be down about. But the great thing, interest rates are, I think, mortgage rates right below 3.
Yeah.
All these talented builders and subcontractors building these beautiful homes with all the latest colors and things. So there's reasons to have little challenges, but hey, we're living in great times.
Right. I mean, you and I were talking right before the show about, you know, I grew up here in Oklahoma City, and one of my earliest memories was the 1980s, like just the housing market just went crazy, and I remember my parents being stressed out during that time. And I was a kid, and I when you realize that as a kid, you're going, wow, you look back on, man, that was, must have been a really hard time.
Well, it's always good to know history, you know? so you can appreciate now.
Yeah.
And in those early 80s, prime rate was around 21%, and a mortgage rate was around 16%. Can you imagine a 16% mortgage today?
Well, just your ability to buy any home at a larger size would just diminish. You know, we have a lot of first-time home buyers that are buying these wonderful homes.
Oh.
I mean, just tremendous. And it's so exciting to walk that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And going, if the rates were at 6 or 7% even, they wouldn't be able to afford this house. So when it comes to the building side of it, do you have to plan just further out, like when you're doing a custom home? How long is the planning cycle right now?
Whether it's a custom or a spec, it's taking 20-25% longer to build. This depends, but the time factor is the great challenge now. But a person just has to accept that it's taking a little bit longer to do it.
Yeah.
But when you can grab a mortgage at 3% or less, I know I was in a real estate class in the early 80s, and the real estate broker said, we will never see single-digit interest rates again. Are you kidding me? So even though it's taking longer, it's still a great time to get involved in home ownership.
Yeah. Well, that's the part of kind of the American dream that we've built our country on own your own home.
Right.
That is, there's so many advantages. There's so many things that make a difference. But psychologically, it makes such a huge difference to be your homeowner, doesn't it?
Yeah, just to say I'm going to raise my family here.
Yeah.
When I pull in, I can pull in the garage and walk in the house and have a backyard and have the opportunity to personalize that house and say it's mine and then build equity.
Yeah. Yeah, and have that stability, build that equity. It's just such good in so many different ways. Now, are you seeing the trends changing as far as what people are wanting from a home?
Well, you know, you mentioned people want more land, but I'm also seeing people wanting to build around in the Oklahoma City area.
Uh-huh.
They want maybe smaller pieces of property than normal. So I'm seeing it both ways. I'm seeing wanting smaller closer together houses, and I've seen it the other way. So it's kind of all over the board.
So my wife and I just purchased a home kind of in a little villa area, and I would have said I never would have bought in a little villa area. The yards are taken care of. It's right by our office. But the way it's designed, when you go into the back porch, it goes back to a wooded area, and you can't see a neighbor. You think you're like in the mountains of in the Arbuckles or down in Arkansas. I mean, it looks mountainous. It's a forest.
Right.
And this little pocket is all of a sudden you feel like you have no neighbors at all.
Yet you're in a villa.
Yes. Yeah. Yet I'm right, like I can walk up to the office and I can walk to restaurants. But on my back porch, it feels like, and I would have said I never would have purchased that kind of home.
Well, with all these talented developers and builders that we have and realtors, there's so many options.
Yeah.
And you put all that talent to work, and with the demand, there's going to be opportunities to buy different types of houses and different types of subdivisions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what – you know, there's a saying in real estate that buyers are liars. Well, here's the thing about buyers. I was like this of going – I will never buy a house with stairs. I'm not a fan of stairs. As I get older, I just don't want to go up and down them. And I never would have bought a house that was in a villa that was right next to a neighbor. I bought both because the downstairs is really all that my wife and I need. The upstairs is perfect for my kids, and when they leave – when the last ones leave for college, I got two. That one's out of college, and one's in about to graduate from OU.
Hey, what university did you say?
OU.
Hey, I like OU. Now my son-in-law's OSU, and I like OSU.
But
OU there, though, kind of it stands out for me.
That's right. Yeah, everybody needs a little brother, so that OSU person's just fine.
No, I didn't say that. Yeah,
so, you know, and I would have said I never would have had that, but it just ends up perfect.
But a lot of times you don't know.
Yeah. That's it.
Until you see something,
yeah,
you have an opinion or a perspective,
yeah,
And when you see something like you say you would never do, it may be opposite of your perspective. So you don't know till you, and plus you change over time.
That's exactly right. I got onto the back porch and I went, this is it. I can sit back here and pretend I'm all by myself and I can sing and nobody can hear me. So when we come back, we'll be talking about what to look for in a new home. How do you determine who's a good builder? When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. And make it to the studio, Becky Ivins. Good morning, Becky.
I know, a little bit delinquent today, huh?
I'll give you the tardy slip. You can go see the principal
there
later.
There you go. Well, I be the principal.
You are the principal. That's great. Well, we're here talking with John Nail and talking about kind of the changes that have come in the housing market and in the building. Now, we're going to talk about is what do clients look for in good builders? Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, John, before I want to preface this because I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You are the president of the Oklahoma Home Builders Association.
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking you to throw people under the bus here, but you are a well-thought-of builder by your peers. And so what do you tell people if here's what to look for?
Well, first of all, I want to be in a great subdivision. It's a location that is suitable for me and where I work and maybe in schools for sure.
Location, location, location.
And personally, as a builder, I'm a communicator. And I think having someone that will communicate with you and not a daily basis, as much as possible, because it's a custom home builder. You're building somebody's custom house. Spec house is my builder around and observing, and what kind of contractors does he have working for him, and reputation.
Yeah.
You know, reputation is a big thing in anything. But we have a lot of good builders in the metro area and a lot of good subcontractors. And, of course, we're building in, if not turbulent times, we're building in some tough times to build. And so the builders really have their work cut out for them. The subcontractors, there's not enough of those. You can't get material. So I'm telling you, a builder today is earning their keep, trying to juggle the lack of materials and subcontractor shortages,
yeah,
and time frames. And so if you pick a good area, more than likely you're going to have a good builder, in my opinion.
Right. Well, in subdivisions, in my estimation, a good subdivision has the developer controls who gets to purchase the lots, so that there is a consistency of quality and size and style and features throughout the neighborhood, and that makes a very solid neighborhood. So
you mentioned the magic word there, control.
Yes.
Anything that has excellence, there has to be some controls.
I should be a developer because I do love my control.
Well, you have to manage those things, and you have to manage. You have to have a mindset, and you have to have a desire for the quality.
Yeah.
And in anything.
Yeah.
But so
now, building, like other businesses, there's kind of a world within the world of it. I, in college, I helped hang wallpaper. That was what I did throughout the summers, and did that. And so, as wallpaper hanger, you knew all the painters.
Right.
Because you knew who was going to be prepping the walls, whether they were going to be good or not. So if you wanted a good painter, ask a wallpaper hanger. If you wanted a good wallpaper hanger, ask a painter who it is. There's kind of that. How do you find good subcontractors?
Well, I've been working at it for a long time. And so it's experience and knowing what to look for. And then if you're needing a really good sub, ask one of your fellow builders. So if we keep talking about quality here, is quality important? I can promise you it is.
Yes.
Quality, and it's not just a given. Quality just doesn't appear. You have to have a mindset for it, like both of you are talking about. But I really love the quality part of home building. I like a really beautiful – I like a, not just a beautiful product, but a well-built product.
Right. And you kind of emphasize functionality in your pretty spaces because your designs are extraordinary and have been over the years.
So we've talked about quality. Now we're talking about function.
Right.
So that's something to look for as a home builder, I mean home builder, a home buyer. Mm-hmm. Is it going to? It may be really pretty and have great quality, but does it have the function you want?
Right.
So I like pretty. I like function. I like quality.
Do you know, I went into a new home one time, and it had these big vaulted, actually it was cathedral ceiling, huge, tall ceiling in this small office. And, of course, I mean, I've made phone calls in those type environments before, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, everybody, if there's two people sitting here, everybody's going to, it kind of goes into a circle, you're sounds do. It would be a very noisy office. So if I were talking on one end of the room on the phone, you would be getting my conversation into your mouthpiece of your phone. And so thinking about things like that, it takes experience to do that too.
And right? I'll tell you something else. I've worked all of my life trying to build the perfect house. It's not there. So I've worked for customers that have designed houses. Well, I change this a little bit or that a little bit. So another mindset is to have, it's not going to be perfect. You want something really great, but I've yet to see perfect. And so that's something to think about also is, you know, you want to weigh all those considerations. You for starting to want the echoing, and you want the quality, and you want pretty, mm-hmm. but you got to see, in my opinion, look at the overall picture.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Neighborhood, house.
Proportionality is another thing that we can talk about, and that'd be a great thing to kind of visit on the other side of the break, is what do proportions have to do with a home?
When we come back, we'll be talking about how do things are changing, the proportions of the house, and what you can look for. When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins team, here with Becky Ivins. It's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. And Becky, our word of the day is?
Proportionality.
Whoa. This is
proportionality. That's a big word, isn't it?
Yeah, proportionality.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's just see what the internet says it is.
It's got to be true if the internet says it.
Yeah, it's going to be true, right? Okay. The fact or quality of being in proportion or imbalance in relation to other things in size. And that's probably it. Proportionality in building is extremely important because you can't have, like when you build onto a home, like someone says, well, I want to build a master bedroom onto my home, mm-hmm. and we're going to build a bonus room on the back of it too. Well, the bathrooms and kitchens and closets and bedrooms remain the same size, and that is not in proportion to the size of the home. If you have a 2,000 square foot home and add 1,000 square feet to it, chances are it's going to have too small of a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And not enough bathrooms, or proportionally the bathrooms would be too small, or the closets would be too small. Larger homes have wider hallways, right? Right, John?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you would have narrow hallways in a large home, and it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't live right. So proportionality is important.
What is that you just said, the phrase, feel right?
It does not feel right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'd have open houses on the weekends and things, and I'd have people walk in. They said, we can just feel the quality. Feel the quality.
Yeah.
And you said, feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that important?
It's extremely important. The proportionality of a home is, the home I lived in had a small kitchen, a big pantry. The pantry was bigger than the kitchen, but I knew I was going to sell it. So what did I do? I enlarged the kitchen, made the kitchen very large, and that will sell the home because I didn't, I mean, I cook all the time, but I don't need a big space to cook, but I did need a big space to sell in a kitchen.
Well, talking about proportionality, that's where a house designer, an architect comes in. Whether you're building custom or going to add on or remodel, I highly recommend using a good house designer because he can help you with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a designer that is actually female. Kara Pasley is a wonderful designer. She's the one that helped me figure out what to do with my house. And she's helped me figure out a few other houses as well. So she's wonderful. She's on, I think she might be on our website under Becky's Favorites.
Yep. She's under Becky's Favorites.
And she's exceptional in her design.
Yeah.
So
I think we see this sometimes within custom houses. Somebody can customize a house so closely to fit them that it doesn't fit anyone else.
Correct.
And they go to resell their house and they're saying, wait a minute. We spent X amount of dollars on this feature. And
you
now
know what you know what I say when they do that? Did you do that to increase the value or to make it more like what you wanted? Because what you did not increase the value of your home. It made it more comfortable for you. It ends up costing more, but it was worth it because it was your home. You made it like you wanted it. But it has no resale value.
Yeah.
In fact, it could be a negative.
And that's the part that becomes really difficult is when it's a negative, right?
You know, I've sold so many houses with bathtubs right in the middle of the master bedroom with a skylight above. And 70s houses, pretty much. And they did this because they wanted it that way. And those were all customs. I can't imagine any of those not being custom. But it turns out that today's buyer doesn't appreciate a bathtub in the middle of the master bedroom, which is ginormous. You could park a car in those bathrooms. So, in one house, and you know this house, Mark, it had a toilet on a pedestal, on like a raised platform in the middle of the master bedroom. And it was kind of like the king was on his throne or something like that. That was, well, we had to make concessions when we sold that house because it was just weird that we couldn't find a buyer that wanted to be king on his throne.
Who would not want that house?
Well, everybody, it turns out.
There is so much things that change through the years like that, and customizations and colors and brass and silver and copper and... How do you determine that, John, when you're talking about that, when those kind of things?
On a spec house? Or,
yeah. Let's go to the spec house. How do you determine that?
You certainly want to be current with a spec house. And my wife works with me, and I have a designer as well. And they make those decisions. I put it together. But, yes, on a spec we're custom. You want to be up to date. That's why you need a designing specialist, in my opinion, to help you. The designer knows the colors, the textures, the hardware, the light fixtures, what's out there right now. And many of them can look in the future a little bit. And so just like you want a realtor, you want a builder, in my opinion, if you're going to do custom or a remodel or an add-on, you want a designer to help you. There's so many selections in all the flooring and wall colors and hardware that you really need someone in today's world that specializes in that.
Do you know, we had a bathroom redone by Kara recently, Kara Pasley. She got the rug that was perfect for the runner for this bathroom, and she got some towels that were kind of like a waffle towel that were a very strange kind of tangerine orange color, but it just set off the bathroom. Okay, the buyer of this house asked, where did you get the rug and the towels for this bathroom? They're stunning. So I asked Kara, and she goes, oh, they're from Target. I said, I've never seen anything like that at Target. She said, no, they're never in stock. You have to buy them online. And I'm going, see, I would have never known where to look for something like that. But she stays current on where things are. So the designer is a really important thing.
Especially today when there are so many choices out there. You want someone that knows those choices.
So we've talked a lot about quality. Now, you as a builder, you walk into a house, not one that you built, not some other one. What do you look for in quality? Because when I walk in with a buyer, sometimes they look at windows, sometimes they look at flooring over. How do you know or the evidence of a quality build?
Oh, I look at, of course, the cabinetry and the crown, the base and case, how well they're put together.
And whether they're square.
And usually in the corners, tile showers and bathtubs and vanities, how those all line up with the sheetrock. But you know, when you walk into a house, you can kind of get blasted by just the overall look of the house. But I like the tile, the how it fits into the corners and the grout joints and how well it's grouted and how the caulking is around the tubs and. And so just the trim, how the cabinets, how they fit against the wall, and then the finish that you mentioned paint earlier, the finish of the paint, how well it's been sanded. The masonry, I look at how the brick has been laid in the stone. I look at the concrete, how many saw cuts are in it, because your saw, when you have concrete, you see all these saw cuts? They're made to limit the cracking, and the crack normally follows the saw cut. Sometimes it'll just crack somewhere else, but I just look overall the finish of that, and but if you really want to look at quality, you have to look in the corners, tile, paint, brick, stone, cabinetry, those type of things.
And you have to be familiar with the products that go into the home so that you know the, difference in the types of woods, and you know the difference in like a porcelain tile as opposed to a ceramic or anything else, a marble maybe, but those are really important things. I judged a parade of homes up in Tulsa a few years ago, and I did exactly that. Well, I looked at stuff like that when I was judging.
But I will say again, perfection is impossible. I've tried it. I can't get there. But you want a builder that's working for quality, and so anyhow, quality is very important to me. It's important to most builders, and it's something to think about for sure, but also understand that perfection is impossible.
Well, I hope my wife is listening to this. Marissa, perfection is impossible, but I'm trying to get there. When we come back, we'll be talking about biggest money mistakes that people make when building a home on News Radio 1000 KTOK, Oklahoma, Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
So we're talking about the biggest money mistakes, right? John, what are the biggest money mistakes that someone might make in a home purchase or a home build?
Well, a home build, you might design one that is larger than you should. You know, you get excited about trying to get the proportion, get the rooms just right, and you have several hundred more feet than you probably should have built. That's a mistake for
I
sure.
I did that. That was a mistake.
And all your selections of, you know, you've got hardware and appliances, light fixtures and flooring, and there's all price ranges in those things. And if you're not careful, you can bump each one of those, and you spent 20 or 30 more thousand than you could have spent or should have spent.
In that today's prices, you can easily, I mean, that $20,000 could turn into $120,000 actually. Yeah. Because, I mean, everyone emphasizes HGTV has almost ruined our market. I keep saying that because they say appliances cost, well, they can redo a whole kitchen with new cabinets and appliances and flooring and lighting for $12,000 or $15,000. And I'm going, we live in Oklahoma where things are reasonable, and that just
that's
isn't possible.
True.
You can spend $4,000 on appliances alone.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
That's not even touching the top end of it.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, John, president of the Central Oklahoma Home Builders, we're having the fall parade coming up, aren't we?
Yes, and I'm very excited about it. In fact, it's really been a big deal in our community around here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Let me give you the dates on that. October 15th, 16th, and 17th, and then October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, 71 homes from 39 builders. Now, we're down some houses this fall because of the market's so hot that before they can get one finished, they sell it. So I think we're very fortunate to have this many houses. And here's what's kind of unusual about this parade of homes. There's going to be some houses in there that aren't finished because of the time frame of material and labor and those kind of shortages. But here's the positive. You can visit the parade and visit some of these houses that aren't completed, and then you can make it kind of a custom toward the end. So you have an opportunity to see completed houses and an opportunity to see houses during the construction stage, so you could kind of customize that to your desires.
And when is the parade?
The dates again?
The dates again.
Okay, let me give those dates again. October 15th, 16th, and 17th, and then October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
So it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday of two consecutive weekends.
Have they done it like this before?
October.
Or is this new?
This is a little bit of an adjustment. We did kind of a 9-day parade before, and this is, I think the houses will be open a little bit longer on these 3-day weekends than they were during the week.
And it's great.
Our parade magazines are at On Cue. Each On Cue should have our
parade. So you can go by and pick them up.
You just go by. They're free. You can go by those beautiful On Cues or several of those. And at the front, there's a stack of our home builder magazines. So grab one of those and go have some fun.
Yeah.
See what's out there.
It's so great to walk through those.
Yeah, I mean, you can walk through houses that you couldn't possibly afford to live in, right?
but get ideas. It's really a cool thing that we have here in the fall with this fall parade, and Home Builders takes it very seriously.
Yeah.
So we have some talented builders with some beautiful houses out there.
Right. And the competition for the Home Builders, go to the Home Builders Parade on Friday and then go again on Sunday. And Saturday, maybe you could go out to the Cowboy Hall of Fame and see the Second Half Expo. That's where I will be speaking. And so I'll be speaking at 12:30. And
now you're speaking senior downsizing?
Senior downsizing. Simple steps to senior downsizing.
Okay.
And the Senior Follies, my husband Jim Ivins will be on stage singing. So thanks for joining us today. Thank you, John Nail.
Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Look forward to seeing you next week.